girl every day of my life. I wanna thank you. You made me so.
Blood, sweat, and tears, you make me so very happy. A lot of Canadians are feeling that feeling today. Joining me in the studio right now is our Member of Parliament Designate. I think that's the term they're using right now, isn't it?
I think it is.
Kim Rudd, welcome back to the show. So happy to have you here in the studio.
Dave, thank you. It's still a bit surreal that this like long campaign is over. But excited to be here and excited to be the Member of Parliament elect or designate. I'm not quite sure the official term. I'm just thrilled.
Well, and now the hard work begins, right?
It does. And and what's interesting is, as I was campaigning with our team over the past months, people would say to me, aren't you tired? You know, and I loved every single minute of it. I had so much energy. So did my team. I think it was partly because we were knocking on doors of people who wanted change, and we were getting energy from that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been an amazing experience.
Well, it was a long night. I know you're up till at least 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yes. When I got home last night, I, of course, couldn't sleep. So I started replying to the hundreds of emails and tweets and Facebook posts, et cetera, and finished those off today. Or, well, they're still coming in, but I'm doing my best to keep up.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the night. I mean, you know, as a lot of viewers who are watching TV Kojiko know, and both folks that are listening here to Northumberland 89.7, it took us forever to get any numbers for Northumberland, Peterborough South. And then once they started coming in, it was so slow. I mean, I've had dental surgery that was faster.
Well, and I'm at home waiting with my family and my daughter, Stephanie Rudd. You know, Stephanie, she's getting updates from her friends and then finally we turn the TV on and there's no Northumberland, Peterborough South. And I think, this is strange. And we were starting to get numbers in from the West Coast before we were getting them from here.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, what goes through your mind is, well, has something gone wrong? Have they lost the ballot box? Is there, you know, what's happening? And I have no idea why it was so slow, but it was probably the longest 2 hours of my life.
Well, it was long last time around as well. I mean, I remember 2011 waiting forever for numbers for Northumberland, Peterborough South as well.
Yeah, I don't know what is what the rationale is, and it can't be just because it's a rural riding, because there were lots of rural results coming in. So.
Well, we were getting Bay of Quinte's numbers. We already knew who'd won in Bay of Quinte. Every other riding around us actually had a declared winner, and yet we still hadn't any numbers.
Yeah, and I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed, though, speaking of around us, there was one contest, Daryl Cramp and Mike Bossio, and last night we didn't have a decision. And then when I woke up this morning, Mike Bossio was the MP.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Daryl Cramp lost his seat as well.
Yeah.
So Aaron O'Toole was reelected in Durham, but all around us we saw blue banners falling. Now, they didn't lose all of their seats, of course, in the blue belt, as I like to refer to it. That goes around the GTA in the 905 area, but we did win here. And it was a hard-fought battle. And it was nice to see Adam Moulton come to your campaign office and shake your hand. And it was the first time I'd actually had an opportunity to meet Adam Moulton.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I said this last night, and I think it bears repeating. This process of running for any kind of office is not for the faint of heart. It is a ton of work. You put your personal life, your professional life, if you put everything on hold and you give it everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I have such respect for my fellow candidates and the work that they did. And when Adam came in the Carpenters Union Hall last night and congratulated me, I said the exact same thing to him. He ran it, you know, I mean, for a young man, he had a team, he worked hard. There was one of the things I think was very positive about this election and the 11 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I know we at the beginning we thought, oh my heavens, here we go. But it gave people the opportunity to really, for the most part, get to know the candidates, get to know the issues, get to ruminate maybe a little bit more about politics, especially after Labor Day weekend happened. And I said to Adam last night that one of the things I was encouraged to see is he had so many young people on his team. Now, they weren't from around here, and I know that, that they were from, I don't know whether they were schoolmates, but I understand they weren't from around here. But that's not the point. The point is we want young people to be engaged in politics. And I said to him, I said, I think you've done a good thing by engaging so many young people. And I hope over the next 4 years they'll continue to be engaged.
Well, he definitely raised the bar when it came to engagement for youth here in Northumberland, Peterborough South. So it was, you know, kudos to him. He ran a good campaign, as we all know. There can only be one victor, and in this case, the victor is Kim Rudd. So a lot of people were happy about that. I mean, I know
I was.
I was surprised by the majority.
My husband was happy.
I was surprised by the majority. Well, now the hard work begins. Now, I mean, now your family's got to be vetted and all of that. There's got to be police checks done now. I mean, it's quite a process.
Well, when they called me today from the House of Commons, and there's a process that is not the political process. Political process happens on its own. This is the administrative side of the House of Commons, and it's a bureaucratic process, and it's nonpartisan. And when the young woman called me today, she's my liaison, and she gave me a list of things I need to do. I'm going to Ottawa for orientation on Monday. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she asked, of course, my copy of my birth certificate, but a copy of my marriage certificate. And I'm thinking, holy crumb, where is that? it was a couple of years ago. But I'm pretty sure it's in the safety deposit box. So if it's not, I'll be scrambling to get one tomorrow. But I just thought, wow, I don't think I've been asked for my marriage certificate ever.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if we have ours. I think we sent ours off, and because you have to send it off to be registered or whatever. I don't think we ever got it back.
Well, I don't think – I know mine's a little old, but I don't think it's in Latin quite. But, it's a few years old.
Yeah, ours, like I said, I don't even know where mine is. I don't think we even have it any longer. But so first thing on the agenda, as I say, it was a long night last night. It was very difficult. I was getting people saying, call it. I said, no, I'm not going to call it early. And I know it must have been just as – if not – I mean, I know I was waiting for the numbers. You were waiting to see where your future lies.
Well, I think it had to do as I'm hearing sort of snippets around, because as the candidate, I'm really not involved, and they make sure I don't know any of those sort of things going on. But as I heard snippets, I understand it was I think what they call the special ballots, where they go around to the hospitals and people's homes where people can't get out. And I think that's what the delay was. I don't know why, but it seems that that was what took the time to get done.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess maybe they have to wait for all the numbers to come in before they could release them. I don't really know.
I don't know.
Well, I do think that there should be a complaint lodged with Elections Canada. That's just me, folks. This was the second election that I can recall where it was like pulling teeth.
You're right. It was a long time last time, too. Yeah, I'm remembering that.
Mm-hmm. And that was a clear victory. I mean,
Mr. Nowak won by.
There was no ambiguity
that.
There. No. It was a huge majority, and yet it took forever to get the numbers. So,
I do want to say, when I talked about the other candidates, I do want to say I received a lovely phone message from Patricia Sinnott today. It was on voicemail. I mean, I have such respect for Patricia. She ran an amazing campaign on I know, as a Green candidate, there's not really much budget. And I learned things from Patricia. She's an extremely intelligent woman, and she has such a passion for what she's doing. Mm-hmm. And she offered to work with me over the next 4 years. And what's really interesting about that is at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever time I was responding some of these Facebook posts or messages, I saw a post from Patricia and I responded to it and said how much I admired her and I hoped that we would be working together over the next 4 years. So it was interesting. She left a voicemail about and I made a written comment to her, and we were both thinking along the same lines.
Mm-hmm.
We need to work together.
Well, absolutely. And again, that's the difference in the party dynamic too, I think. I don't think Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just not a fan of that party. But I don't think that that's something you would have heard from the Blue Team at all.
Adam did tell me last night. He told me he'd see me at Rotary on Friday because we're both Rotarians in the same club. But he also said that he and his team would see me in 4 years.
Well, there you go.
So he's right at this point anyways, he's intending to run again.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, so that's not him saying I'm willing to work with you, though. there's a stark difference there. It would be interesting to see, though, how many of the other candidates, because again, just because you were maybe in different parties, a lot of the agenda, I mean, the NDP mm-hmm. and the Liberals shared a lot. It would be mm-hmm. interesting to see how many NDP candidates or supporters would be willing to work, not just with yourself, but with the other Liberals who were elected. That was the one thing that Justin Trudeau said that really resonated with me, was the fact that we're all in this together, you know?
We are, and every candidate comes at it from a place of best intention. They believe that what they're doing is the best for the country and best for the riding. We're coming at it from different perspectives sometimes, but to your point, sometimes not. Sometimes there's some commonality. And, mm-hmm. and you know, certainly Russ Christensen on our, because Russ and Patricia and I were at all the all candidates. Russ nicknamed us the Three Musketeers. And, you know, Russ has a long history in cooperatives. And something that Marielle Boulanger, who is our MP from an Ottawa, I think Vanier, riding, and Marielle is very involved in those as well. And mm-hmm. and I think that's something that there's going to be more conversation about. And I will certainly reach out to Russ if he's interested in sharing what he knows.
Absolutely. Because, again, you know, you don't have to be the smartest person in the room, but you need to have those smart people in the room with you.
And be smart enough to listen to them.
That's the other part. That's the other part of that message. You got to be smart enough to listen to them. We're going to take our first break, folks, but we will be right back with more of our interview with Kim Rudd. You're listening to The Drive Time right here on Northumberland 89.7. Please stick around.
Affordable housing in this riding, especially affordable housing for seniors, is going to be... I'm hearing it from everywhere, mm-hmm. from every mayor I've met with, from every councillor I've met with, people, doors I've knocked in on. And I don't know if part of it is because we have such a rural riding that there are a lot of people are staying in their, you know, their farmhouses or their rural properties for absolutely as long as they can. And sometimes the only equity they have, the only sort of money they have is what's in that house. Mm-hmm. So translating that into a place to live as a senior doesn't always work. So the affordable housing mm-hmm. is going to be a big push for us.
Well, we know that there was a study that was released a few weeks ago that said 1 in 5 renters are now spending more than 50% of their income on
and it
on
should
just
be
housing.
35%.
Well, that's mm-hmm. the optimum, right? Mm-hmm. Is 35. So obviously, there's going to have to be some work there. But what does the federal government do? I mean, does the federal government then build affordable housing, or are we going to still? I mean, one of the things that really bugged me about this government, and I'm not sure if it was started by the previous government or not, but this idea that the feds will pay a third, the province will pay a third, the municipalities will pay a third. I mean, it sounds great on paper, but when municipalities only have one source of revenue, and that really is ratepayers, it mm-hmm. seems to be an unnecessary burden to put on municipalities. I know that when I was growing up in the 70s, you know, that most major housing development projects, and talking about in Toronto, for instance, Regent Park and all the work that was done there, those places were built with the funds directly from the federal mm-hmm. government.
I mean, and I don't know. I think some of that is yet to be determined, mm-hmm. and a lot of it will be determined once we have a First Minister's meeting where we actually bring the premiers together with the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, and have the conversations about how this best works. I mean, certainly the Federation of Canadian Municipalities have been involved, and I've seen some reports that have come out on them about how they think it should roll out. Mm-hmm. There's also something, and I don't know a lot about it. I've read the platform, and it's, you know, 2 inches thick. There's something in there about an infrastructure bank mm-hmm. and using basically our own money to be able to fund this through a loan program.
Well, it's interesting that I actually have read that, and I saw Justin Trudeau talking about the infrastructure bank in a speaking engagement a few weeks ago. And it just reminded me about the Bank of Canada. I mean, the Bank of Canada is our infrastructure bank. That's what it was set up for. I mean, the reality is now under Section 18M of the Bank Act, it's an agent of the International Monetary Fund, so we're borrowing money from beyond our borders. But the entire time that we were using the Bank of Canada for the role it was intended, we carried a deficit or a debt in this country of $18 billion. That was it. It was $18 billion for almost 40 years. And then we decided to make the Bank of Canada an agent. Is is there some talk? I mean, obviously it's the day after and way too early perhaps to talk about this, but we know there's a legal challenge going through the courts right now with Rocco Galati rather, and the group called Commerce, and they want to see the Bank of Canada do exactly the role. I mean, you know, Trudeau talked during the campaign about building the Trans-Canada Highway, about building the St. Lawrence Seaway. And that was all done through the Bank of Canada. Mm-hmm. And through an infrastructure bank, which is what the Bank of Canada was set up for. So do we know, is it too early to say at
this
point?
It's too early. And again, I'll go back to what this looks like. I think a lot of that's going to depend on those discussions with the provinces. Mm-hmm. And we are a federation. We've lacked federal leadership. The former prime minister did not meet with the premiers, did not have those conversations. So I think from everything I've seen as a government, or government in waiting, I guess, or a next government, is that we recognize that partnerships only work if you all come to the table understanding that no one already has their mind made up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's everything I'm hearing, that if it's a true partnership, you all come together. Sure, you have your agendas and you have your opinions about how things are, mm-hmm. are best done. But it's a give and take. And I remember the Kelowna Accord is a perfect example when I was involved with the childcare part of that. We got the provinces and territories together on a number of things, as well as the Aboriginal First Nations communities. And we negotiated solutions by everyone doing that little bit of give and take and coming mm-hmm. up with the best thing. So I'm really feeling that that's the process that we're going to go through. And certainly every indication I've had is that that's the way it's going to happen.
Well, everyone has a wish list when they meet with,
of course they
with
do.
The guy who signs the checks, right?
I have a wish list.
There you go.
I've already told Justin Trudeau I have a wish list.
Well, you know what? We're going to take our next break here. But when we come back, maybe we'll talk about some of the things that are on Kim Rudd's wish list as we talk to Kim Rudd here at Northumberland 89.7. This is Truly Local Radio. You're listening to The Drive Time. This is Canada's only holistic political chat. Welcome back to The Drive Time, everybody. In the studio with me, Kim Rudd, the MP designate for Northumberland Peterborough South, the first member of Parliament for Northumberland Peterborough South.
Yeah.
And I guess ladies first is the best way to put it there.
I guess so. Well, I walked into the room last night at the Carpenters Union Hall, and I don't know how many press were there, but there was probably 10 or so, and it truly was a scrum. Because of the Northumberland Peterborough South broader region, we take in more media outlets.
Mm-hmm.
It really is an honor.
Well, let's talk about, you know, before we went to break, you were talking about some things that you'd like to see. You have your own wish list. What are some of the things you'd like to see happen off the hop?
Well, as you know, we created the jobs plan for Northumberland Peterborough South. And right off the get-go, I want to be able to start on that and implement that jobs plan. We've got a number of things in our platform that revolve around youth employment
mm-hmm.
and benefits to employers for hiring full-time youth. I want to get that message out to those employers that this is something that they can do. The infrastructure, you know, I'm going to be one of 338 MPs that are coming to ask for infrastructure money. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
And before, during the writ period, and actually a bit before, I met with most of the mayors, a couple of them, and I were, you know, having calendar and phone tag.
Phone tag issues.
Thank you. Yeah. Phone tag issues. And but I went to them and met with them and said, what's your most pressing issue? Now, of course, Mayor Wallace and Brighton, we talked about water
mm-hmm.
because it is. With Mayor, the Mayor of Clarington, Adrian Foster, we talked about affordable housing for seniors. But then they are also on the edge of the GTA.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are some other things. I talked to Heck McMillan up in Trent Hills, and you know, we've got the Hastings Bridge that's been promised for every year for the past 4 years, and mm-hmm. it's becoming a serious issue. You know, there are a number of things. So my lead has to come from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met with all three MPPs because of the riding change. There's three MPPs. So I've met with all of them as well to talk about partnership and how we can. I guess it's like anything else. If everyone has a certain amount of money, and it may not be a third, a third, a third, but mm-hmm. if everyone has a certain amount of money,
mm-hmm.
how can we put that together and to use an old adage, get more bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the impetus to my starting those conversations with the mayors and with the MPPs.
Well, and obviously a conversation well worth having, as I said earlier, you know, with rent being what it is for a lot of people. And I mean, right now there's a huge housing boom in this country. Everybody wants to own a home.
The challenge is not everybody can afford a home. Mm-hmm. And housing security.
Yeah.
And to me, you know, people say, well, how would you address poverty? Which is probably one of the toughest questions anyone gets, politician or not. There's no easy answer. But having housing security is probably one of the best things we can do. When people have a secure roof over their head, they have stability, it opens up so many more opportunities for mm-hmm. them and their children if they have them. So,
well, it's certainly easier to find a job when you know where you live isn't contingent upon mm-hmm. on that. It's nice to know that you can have that. And the thing about affordable housing, one of the things that people seem to forget is it generally is geared to income. So the more money you earn, obviously your rent will go up accordingly, but they always try to keep it in that 35% mm-hmm. range. And so that's one of the things I've noticed about here in Northumberland County is that there really isn't a lot of affordable housing. It seems to be that the people who get those affordable housing spots are people who are destined not to be long-term residents. And that's something that people look forward to, I think, if you're managing a social housing setup. You don't want people that are going to be there for generations. But by the same token, those people need housing as well.
Well, and I think affordable housing can mean different things in different parts of our riding, and I'm sure the country. But I also look at affordable housing as housing that's not necessarily rental. Mm-hmm. In fact, it could be purchased housing. But, you know, to your point about the boom, well, yes, we have some beautiful houses being built and beautiful subdivisions, and it's great, and there are people are moving into them, a lot of them from the GTA, for mm-hmm. sure. But what about, remember when they built the wartime houses?
Mm-hmm.
They were simple houses, functional. And what about that concept? There's a development going on in Port Hope I've been doing a bit of research on because some of the folks in the old Clark Township are looking at as well. And they're individual units for seniors. They're in groups of five, so like mini bungalow townhouses, I mm-hmm. guess, you know, row houses, maybe you call them, but they're bungalows, so they're all one level, and you buy them,
mm-hmm.
but they're extremely affordable because they're not, they're in a place, they're not on a place, they're not by the water, they don't have a lot of the amenities, but they have the ability for you to live in your own space. Out in Alderville, when I was doing some canvassing, they have some beautiful units, and they're $500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
For their rent. Now, they're rentals. But again, I've been in a couple of them, and they're very, very – they're lovely, and they're mm-hmm. only a couple of years old. But again, there's no amenities. You know, they pay a small fee to have their parking lot plowed.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Well, and again, it sounds very reasonable. I guess part of the problem is that everybody wants to own a home. There's that emotional attachment with owning a home. And I remember hearing over the weekend, there was a gentleman who said, you know, everyone wants to own a home, but the reality is it's really not the wisest long-term investment. You know, you pay a big down payment generally. You don't ever get that money back. The best you can hope for, usually even in a really good market, is about an 8% return, which you're going to get in 25 or 30 years. So realistically, I mean, if you figure the down payment's 50 grand, that's in some cases about 8 years worth of rent. So for some people, really, you're better off
to
rent.
I think that's why we need a mix. And for mm-hmm. some people, owning is a security mm-hmm. for them. You know, there are lots of people that I mentioned about some of the seniors, particularly I met in some of the more rural areas that live in their farmhouse. Well, they paid their house off. That's their money.
Mm-hmm.
So it was their way to save. So, you know, everybody – and again – I think it's one of the things that we need to remember, and it's the same in this riding as I would suggest it's the same in all parts of the country. There isn't a one-size-fits-all.
No.
And we need to be flexible. And again, that's why the partnerships with the municipalities and the provinces are going to be so important. It's just like childcare.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I was not a fan of the NDP platform. I've been involved in childcare at the local, national, and provincial level for years. Because it was very urban centric. If you were in a largely populated urban center, you know, there were elements of it that could work. It wasn't going to be implemented for 8 years, but there are elements that could work. But when you start getting out to areas like ours and the rural areas, there wasn't really anything that was going to be functional for us.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it has to be. We have to look at some hybrid models of a number of things to address the diversity.
We really do. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed. A lot of Harper Law that needs to be repealed. Obviously, no idea at this point how much Harper Law we're going to see disappear.
But we have committed to a transparency around freedom of information. And unless it is something of national security or, you know, something of very significant, it's going to be open to the public. I mean, that's the way it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to make the portals online.
Now, Bill C-51, that's one thing that everyone, I mean, a lot of people were concerned about the Liberals. And there are a number of people saying don't support them because they supported C-51. Is that going to disappear? What are we going to see with Bill C-51?
Well,
any idea
we
on that?
Heard a lot of that in the beginning. But once people, I remember at the Port Hope debate, we got that question. It was actually, I think, directed at me. And when I explained, and it's a bit of an explanation, but when I explained sort of what we had done and the changes we got, people came up to me afterwards saying, I didn't know the bill got changed. Well, yes, it did get changed, and that's because we pushed for it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are still six amendments to happen, and Justin Trudeau has committed to making it that piece of legislation go forward as the soonest opportunity. And so we will get, you know, the oversight, the sunset clause, the all of those things that need to go in it. So we know that I think it should be the fact that the Conservatives would have put a bill in of that nature with no review clause, no sunset clause.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense. I mean, you should be reviewing all of these things after
every,
a period of time.
Every piece of legislation has to have a sunset clause, in my opinion, even if it's something really wonderful. There still has to be a point. I mean, there are programs that are being run right now at the federal level that have been instituted since the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe some of them have outlived their usefulness. Maybe some of them need to be revamped, but they definitely need to be looked at.
Well, and I agree with you. And I think one of the ways we're going to see some of that change happen is the commitment to no longer having omnibus bills. That's going to be significant because a budget is a budget. A
mm-hmm.
budget should not be 450 pages with the Navigable Waters Act stuck in it or some other piece of egregious legislation, so hoping mm-hmm. no one sees the details. So that's going to stop. So every element of every bill that comes forward will have the respect it mm-hmm. should have in Parliament and be debated in committee. And we all know that the real work in Parliament is at committee level.
It should be, yes.
Yeah. In my opinion, there are three places that the real work is done. It is done in your constituency. This is where I live. This is my community. These are my friends and my family. This is where my work is. The second place is in the committee structure where you actually get to peel the layers of these bills to look at, you know, it's the, well, yes, but what if kind of questions that have to be mm-hmm. asked. And the third thing I think is in some areas of legislation, actually taking the questions to Canadians and asking them. I mean, we're going to see that certainly around the ending of the first-past-the-post election system. We're going to see
how committed are the Liberals to that, to ending
it
that?
It is in our platform. We're going to see a committee, as you know, of parliamentarians from all sides of the aisle, because there is no way from a political perspective you would ever want someone to say, well, this is just you saying this. Well, no, as a committee, we agreed to this. And we're looking in the platform. It talks about looking at everything mm-hmm. from first past or from proportional mm-hmm. representation to a ranked ballot to, you know, one of the things it talks about, because I was at the convention when this was put forward and it passed, and it very much mirrors that policy at the convention. Mandatory voting, like they have in Australia. We need to talk about it. Is it the right thing to do? I don't know, but let's have the conversation. And I think that's such a fundamental change from Mr. Harper's way of this is what you're doing and mm-hmm. here's the bill and we're using time allocation to shut it down and you're voting on it. It's interesting. I had a coffee with Wilf Day.
From Fair Vote Canada.
From Fair Vote Canada. And I've signed the pledge. And, you know, Wilf has said, you know, one of the discussions is the within the new Democratic reform, do you use proportional representation for the local MPs and then use a ranked ballot system for the regional MPs? Or do you do, you know, there's variations on mm-hmm. themes. So I'm excited about having the conversation because this we have committed to this being the first.
Well, we got just about 2 minutes left before we get to the top of the hour. And I know you got to go because you're mm-hmm. very, very busy. But the Senate.
Yes.
Any idea what's going to happen with the Senate? I know their liberal senators are sitting as independents right now.
They are.
Is that something that's going to continue? And is Justin Trudeau prepared to appoint independent senators?
As far as I know, that is exactly what's going to happen. They're going to continue to be independent. In fact, Justin Trudeau's plan is to appoint all independent senators. So there will be a council or a committee that will take recommendations on who should be senators. They'll be vetted and all of those things that you do, just like a job interview. Mm-hmm. And then recommendations will come forward to the Prime Minister and then, of course, to the Governor General.
So we'll definitely be seeing something change there, right? which is great.
Yeah, you know,
that's one of the things that has really sort of stuck in the craw, I know, of the Conservatives and of the NDP in particular. I mean, we could see some NDP, for instance, nominated if they fit the bill.
Well, again, it doesn't. It's who best should who makes most sense to be in the Senate. The Senate isn't the problem. Who's in it is the problem. Take the partisanship out, mm-hmm. and I think you have a very functioning. You'll have a functioning Senate.
Well, you can't call it sober second thought if there's still the party pushing it in the background.
Exactly. Right? And I still say Justin Trudeau did more for Senate reform in a day than Stephen Harper done mm-hmm. for in 10 years. But remember, we do have to appoint those senators.
Yes.
Because it's part of the process. You can't just let it wither and mm-hmm. die on the vine, as Mr. Harper suggested he was going to do. So I think this is the right way to go. Mm-hmm. We get good people into the Senate.
Which is really what it was intended for.
Exactly.
That is the role of the Senate. Sober second thought. My guest has been Kim Rudd. We want to congratulate her for her victory. Very close margin of victory for us here in Northumberland, Peterborough South. And as you said, you know, you spoke to a number of women who were also elected last night. They won handily. You were the one who encouraged them to run, and you had the toughest fight. So, again.
Well, you know me, Dave. I'm always up for never, not necessarily the easy road, but the right road.
Absolutely. Kim Rudd is our new Member of Parliament for Northumberland Peterborough South, our brand new riding of Northumberland Peterborough South. So congratulations to her.
Thank you,
it's
Dave.
Off to Ottawa, and we all wish her good luck. And we're going to the news right now. You're listening to The Drive Time on Northumberland 89.7. This is Canada's truly local radio, only holistic political chat in the country. I'm Dave Glover. Stick around.